This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. And always be seen as
man and wife fulfilling. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the myth about love. And now we're discussing this one, the first love is the best love. And we left at the question as to what does it mean when we say the first person sets up the bar. What does that mean? We tend, whether we like it or not, that anybody that comes next, we tend to compare them to the first person. So the first person becomes the yardstick that we use. And what happens is that from now on, we gauge different people in accordance to that first experience that we have had. So the first love sets the bar for what happens next. But to say that the first love is the best love, that is so not true, people. That's a very fatalistic and that's a very pessimistic idea. Alhamdulillah, if this love did not work for me, then what happens? What do I do? What do I say? Moving on with my life. You know, in the Eastern culture, we love dramas, don't we? We love to dramatize things. We love, you know, statements like, you know, what do you say in India, in Hindi? Mohabbat nahi dunya kharab kahe. And that's terrible. That is terrible. Why do you bring kharab upon the whole dunya? Isn't that like very drastic, dramatic way of putting it? Mohabbat nahi dunya nahi. I mean, why? Why? Because we just love drama. We love to make as passionate, as intense, as powerful, and so we end up creating these myths. And that is not right. Okay? So we say, the first love may be one of the best loves that we will experience in our lives. The first love may really be the best love that we have had in our lives. And it could be due to what? Maybe the person was really married to the sweetest, the smartest, most compassionate, kindest person. But then that person died. So what happens? You can always cherish their memory and say that, you know what? That was really the best love that I had. But the point is, do not bring your life to an end simply because you have believed a myth. And you can really not say that the first love is the best love simply because you have not tried anything else. So when you do miss out on a love, then what happens? Move on with your life. Do not make your life a stagnant one. Okay, so what other myths are out there? Love is what? Love is everything? Love is everything? That's a myth. But another myth is love is an emotion or love is a feeling. What do you think about this statement? Love is an emotion and love is a feeling. What is that? What do we usually view emotions and feelings as? So when we say that love is an emotion, yes, love is partially emotional. Love is a feeling, yes, true, part of it is a feeling. But most important to understand is what? Love is actually a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action. Interestingly, remember what I said earlier about the Quran mentioning the word love and its derivatives about 92 different times? Well, you know what the Quran doesn't do? The Quran does not define what love is. If you look throughout the Quran, it does not define what love is. So what does the Quran do? The Quran speaks about the consequences of love. And what is the first consequence of love? Somebody's about to get married, so they better know, huh? What is the first consequence of love? The Quran says that the first consequence of love is commitment. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah will love you back. Now that's really nice. It does not define what it is, but it speaks about the consequence of it, and the first consequence is commitment. So the first consequence of love is commitment, according to the Quran. And by the way, speaking about love in the Quran, in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, it says that, and if you turn your back to the commands of Allah, what will Allah do? Allah is going to replace you. Replace you with what? Allah loves them and they love Allah. What's beautiful about the statement, about the verse is what? that it establishes Allah's love to them before it speaks about their love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all because of that earlier statement that we made. To love is nothing, to be loved is something, to love and to be loved is everything. And especially in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to claim to love Allah is not necessarily a big deal. To actually have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that Allah loves them, then that is a big deal. Remember in that battle of Khaybar, when the Prophet ﷺ said, tomorrow morning, I'll give the banner to a man who loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger, they love him back. So they said that all the Muslims came in the morning, and everybody was sitting down, but they were looking up to the Prophet ﷺ, and everybody wanted the banner. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, this man whom I am about to give the banner to loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger, they love him back. So everybody wanted that honor. I claim to love Allah. I claim to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I don't have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and stamp my claim with approval. But in the case of this man, they said, we woke up in the morning and everybody's making sure that, look at me, you know, no, me. So the Prophet gave it to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Okay? So here is just a side point as we're talking about this. So love, it has emotion, but it's not all emotional. It is a feeling, but it's not all feelings. But rather, love is a verb, people. It is an action. It's a feeling, but it's also an action. And the first consequence of love is this idea of commitment. And inshallah, now we will open the floor for questions or comments with regarding this myth. And inshallah, then we will move on.
In the Quran, Allah has spoken, for every good man, I have a good woman. Okay, so if it's in the Quran, it's true, okay. Now, if Allah has already decided who should be my wife, then she is it. She is somewhere. I'll find her. She'll find me.
Why bother and go and look for her? She'll probably come your way too.
Well, we have to make an effort to find her and to make this work. I guess, yeah, we all have to work on that.
Actually, the Quran does not say this, people. Okay? The brother is referring to a verse in Surah An-Nur that says, the good ones, female, are for the good ones, males, and the good males will get good females, and what have you. But if you read the verse prior to it and the verse after it, it is talking in relation to the incident when the wife of the Prophet ﷺ was accused of an indecent act. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is blaming and is being critical of some of the believers. So the Quran is revealed by saying, At-tayyibat. At-tayyibat here, they say that is in reference to good words. Good words are only befitting to good men. Men here meaning men and women. And good men and women, only good words come out of them. Words that are full out of vice, they come out of evil men and women. And evil men and women only utter words that are full of vice. So it speaks about this. Simply because if we were to say that good women are for good men, I know many cases where good women have ended up with some jerks. And some very good men, subhanAllah, they have been married to somebody that is not good. So people say, oh, violation of the Quran. No. At-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat, this is talking about actually words that were uttered. Good words were only uttered by those who were good. And good people, it's befitting to them that they speak good words, and then vice versa about the evil words that were said there.
You spoke of marrying three types of person. And you said what the person becomes because of being married to someone. So is all change necessarily wrong or bad?
No. I said that when we marry a person, in reality we are marrying three people. We marry the person that we think they are. We marry the person that they really are, and we also marry the person that they are going to become as a result of them being married to us. People are going to change. When we are around them, we will change. You call it adjustment, you call it flexibility, whatever it is, we are going to change. But some of us are going to inspire us to change to the better. And some of us are going to change us to the worst. And sometimes people may encourage us and bring the best of us. And sometimes people may discourage us and they bring the worst of us. So this is what I'm talking about. When we are married to a person, What is that person becoming as a result of them being married to us? If I were to say to my wife, you know what, we have been married for a year. How has your life changed as a result of being married to me? We've been married for 5 years. How has your life changed as the result of being married to me? They can say, I was a happier person before I met you. And now I am a miserable junkie because I've been with you. Or people can say, you know what, you brought the best out of me. Life was so lonely without you. Now I can see the beauty of life. So how are we impacting that person? And what type of change are we inviting in the life of that person? As a result of them being around us. Because people, believe it or not, attitude is contagious. The attitude is contagious. And when you are in a marital relationship where there is this constant and frequent contact with the person, they either rub on us or we rub on them some of our habits and attitudes. And if we are good and we are rubbing the goodness on them, alhamdulillah. And if they're good and they're rubbing the goodness on us, alhamdulillah. But what happens is if they are rubbing the worst of each other on each other, then that is a recipe for disaster. And that's what I meant as to what are people becoming as a result of them being married to us? And what are we becoming when we are married to them? How am I today, 2 years prior to my marriage? How is she today, 2 years prior to our marriage? Does that make sense? And of course, all the good change is invited. For example, when people say, I want somebody to marry me and accept me as I am. I look into this and I say, that's silly. Yes, we want people to accept us as we are now, but I would hope that the person would also inspire me to become better than what I am right now. If you just say, as I am, and that's it, then we become stagnant. Remember the growth and the development that we spoke about earlier? This is what we're talking about. And this brings us to the conclusion of this part of our program. We're glad that you have joined us in this, and inshallah, next time we meet, you will also tune in. And until we meet, we say so long, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.